It's the Mayo News Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy. Mayo are playing Dublin in less than 7 days. I thought it'd be a good time to come back. How are you, John?
Good to have you back too, Rob. Yeah, it's definitely getting to the business end of the championship if you were back on the pitch. So good to have you back.
I just felt like I just kind of do one of those, skip the league, just kind of get the energy back, shake off a few injuries. Ger Flanagan, back for the championship, back for the knockout, All-Ireland semi-finals at that.
Yeah, Rob, I think we can call you a fair weather podcast host with that kind of appearance record this year.
Yeah, he's kind of doing the Kerry man on it, Ger, you know.
Yeah,
that was the thing, and it probably goes with the straight knockout format as well, because the Kerry lads were great at that. I remember back in the late 70s and early 80s, and they'd come up with big sloppy grins on them just for the final, you know, having not been anywhere all year. So
literally the last podcast,
yeah, I heard
the last podcast I did was Mayo Dublin. So I mean, I think I'm just Mayo Dublin podcast. That's all I do now.
I heard on the Beat and Battle Road there during the week that he actually told people that he might just wait for the final to come back at all, but he had to be, I think, edge to come back tonight.
Well, once I saw it was Dublin, they were lined up in the semi-final, you know, I had to be there for the glorious victory that's on the way for Mayo football. I'm going to bring the positivity. Apparently, that's what I'm here for. I believe. Ger, do you believe it's possible?
Definitely. Definitely. Last year, All-Ireland final, did I believe it was possible deep down? No, probably not. But this year, the way things have played out, the players Dublin have lost, they're not looking as convincing. Mayo, a year the wiser, looking pretty impressive. You have to believe. All Ireland semi-final now. Look, the heart is telling me yes. The head, not fully convinced.
The head will never be fully convinced until we eventually end this run, I think, for any of us. But listening to Billy Joe Patton and Stephen Rochford during the week, John, another great podcast. It was kind of abundantly clear that Stephen Rochford wasn't subscribing to this Dublin on the wane theory.
No, he wasn't, and I think with good reason as well. If you start to dig into the team, I mean, sure, they have less strength than they had. The bench is probably less frightening from the opposition's point of view than it used to be. But at the same time, I think as Stephen said, they kicked 20 scores. They had a goal that was disallowed that probably, I think, in most other matches would have been alive, despite the fact that he did overcarry. But I mean, it was surprising to see that disallowed, you know, and that kind of took the gloss off it, because I think otherwise it would have been a very, very comfortable win. They never looked like they were going to lose the last day. And, you know, how many times even have we seen it before, even when they've demolished teams in Leinster? And they've stepped it up then when they're playing the likes of us. So yeah, I don't think they've gone away at all.
Sorry to judge, so Ger. I mean, the problems with the championship at the moment, and maybe the problems with, you know, maybe you need more of a league structure. But like, for us to have any feel of form of Mayo or Dublin or Kerry, really, those three sides would have needed to have met Tyrone and Donegal a few times in the last maybe 8 weeks for us to feel this semi-final in terms of form. Because this is really like, you know, you won't remember this, but this is what it was like in the 90s and 80s. This is teams coming up to Croke Park and we're not really sure, and we'll see what happens on the day.
Yeah, and like, maybe a true test of that will be how Tyrone get on against Kerry, because, you know, they're the only team really that have, you know, play a championship format that, you know, has a similar competitiveness as the league does. Whereas, you know, Dublin, Mayo, bar the kind of final, bar one half of it at least, and certainly Kerry, you know, haven't really been tested at all. But look, it's something we've been saying for the last few years. Even when Mayo were doing really well in Connacht, dominating Connacht, you could say they weren't being tested, but they were still in the All-Ireland semi-finals, you know, still played out cracker games against Dublin, Mayo, Dublin, Kerry. I think whether they've been tested or not, you know, it might be a bit overstated, because I think they programmed their brains and they programmed their trainer for the Connacht final, for an All-Ireland semi-final. So, you know, I think maybe we might read into that a small bit too much sometimes, I think.
Yeah. Do you ever wonder about the difference between in the group and in the dressing room and among fans? So you get a good perspective on this. You know, you could have walked around Ball maybe before the quarterfinals of last year's championship, and maybe people would have told you, big Ball fans, yeah, geez, you have no chance of winning that championship. But, and you know, that kind of, we believed, even if no one else believed. Is there a bit of that in Mayo, or do Mayo fans always tend to believe to some degree anyways? Is that part of our makeup?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably 50-50. There's definitely a split, you know. There's no doubt about it. There's the believers, you know, the absolute devout believers. You'll see them on social media every day of the week, and, you know, power to them. You know, it's a great way to be. And then there's other people then who kind of look at it a bit more rationally and maybe don't let their emotions get to them as much and think that it's never going to happen or it mightn't happen. And then you obviously have the cynical people as well. But, like, I think no doubt about it. The only one that matters at Mayo, whether they believe or not, they're going to win it, are the players. And do players at Mayo think they're going to win All-Ireland? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, they're not going to go to Croke Park the next day thinking they're not going to beat Dublin. You know, they started out this year thinking they're going to win the All-Ireland. So, you know, and they don't care what anyone thinks outside the group.
John, your thoughts on that? Like, because it is, you know, like, teams, especially that perform as consistently as Mayo, you guys highlighted it superbly a couple of weeks ago in the podcast. This 10 out of 11 semi-finals is just, it is mind-boggling, really, what Mayo have achieved, this sense of consistency. So that gives them a right to think that they belong here. But, you know, that dissidence between the everyday fan on the street and the guys who have to go out in the field the next day fully certain that they have the plan to beat these guys after all this time.
Yeah, I mean, I think the supporters are even less important this year as they would be in any other year, because there won't be that many of them there. You know, there'll be an absolute maximum of 12,000 Mayo fans there if there's an even split, and probably won't even be that. So I think the supporters, if you like, have less of a role in this game. And I think as Jarrod says, it's all about the belief of the players. And that's the one thing about the James Horan era, as Malachy Clerkin famously said in the Irish Times there a few weeks back, is that we, under James Horan and under the modern era, Mayo just never don't show up. And I think we can expect that, and I think James will have the team primed. I mean, the really disappointing thing about last Sunday's Leinster final was you could see from 5 minutes in that Kildare's plan was to keep the score down. Like they surrendered the restart and they had men back, and you just thought, you're never going to win this game playing like that. And it was fairly obvious. So I think the one thing we're guaranteed on Saturday night is that just will not happen. We'll go at it. Full throated, and you know, we might cough up a goal when we don't want to, but I mean, we're not going to not try to beat Dublin. Now, whether or not we succeed or not, we can all have our views on that. I still think it's going to be a big hill to climb, but we'll certainly give it everything.
Let's just circle back a little bit, Ger, before we kind of bring it back to where John is later in the podcast and kind of think ahead to the final. What have you thought of the, we haven't heard from you for a couple of weeks now. What have you thought of the season so far? How Mayo, you know, came back onto the football field from the disappointment of December last year and how they negotiated their way through Division 2 and through the Connacht Championship?
Impressed, I suppose. At the start of the year, I would have said, getting out of Division 2, winning the Connacht title and get to an All-Ireland semi-final, they were kind of the precursors, if you like, and it's where we expected to be. That's where we are. But I thought, I've been impressed by Mayo. They look a different animal. The retirements and all that, there was so much talk about it, how it's going to affect the team. But you've kind of just forgot about it, because this new team, these new players have kind of put their own stamp already, and you have so much excitement looking at them, so much excitement looking at the way they play. You've kind of forgot about December time and, you know, January of where so many players stepped away from the squad. And, you know, whatever you say about James Horan, he has an unbelievable ability to produce a team. Tommy Conroy, Ryan O'Donoghue, Omid Lachlan, Oisin Mullen, you know, all these guys have really, really stepped it up again this year. And, like, the funny thing is, like, December is not that far away, not that long ago. It's not even a year ago. And these guys have made a serious development in that time. The worst thing I thought was going to happen was Killian's loss. I thought we were finished, to be honest. For a while, I thought that Galway might beat us. I think if we played that game at McHale Park, I think the Killian loss would have been much greater felt. But, you know, seeing Ryan O'Donoghue now step up, I think he's a remarkably similar player to Killian in that he can press as aggressively as Killian. He'll tackle as aggressive as Killian. And so far, he's taking his scores. I don't know has he missed a free yet. So yeah, so far so good. Impressive, excited. You know, it's a hard running team. You know, a lot of fast attacking wing backs. It's what Mayo people love. And I'm really excited again to see them have a crack at Dubs. Really, really excited.
Mm. And you see, the thing is as well, is that it's not a typical year. It's not a standard year, because the next Saturday's game is our eighth match of the year. Now, if you looked at going back to 2017 or 2019 or whatever, I think we had played something like 15 or 16 games coming into it. We had played 7 league games and we had a whole bunch of championship games. I think it was at 7 or 8. So let's say we had about 15 games played. All we have played coming into this year's All-Ireland semi-final is effectively the equivalent of a league campaign. We've played 7 games and that's all. But also, uniquely, we've won every single one of them. You know, I can't ever remember, and we'd have to go back to the records quite a bit, but to find a year where we've come into an All-Ireland semi-final with 100% record of victories. Now, you immediately, of course, can say against that, most of them are against poor sides. But even the Division 2 campaign, you know, there's an awful lot made about that. Oh, we're not playing Division 1 football or whatever. But sure, anyone who was playing Division 1 football this year only played 3 or 4 games. You know, it wasn't as if they had a full season of it. And we weren't a full season out of Division 1 because of that. And I do think we certainly have momentum arising from that. And I think that probably did help us with Galway as well. Will it help us against Dublin? Well, we're going to find out, aren't we?
Well, one last point I wanted to make on this before we take a breath is, I just wonder too, Ger, of all the All-Ireland defeats that Mayo have had in the last, whatever, decade, this one is like, all right, it had the least build up, but it also had the least aftermath as well. That's not the correct way of saying it, but you know what I'm trying to say. The aftermath was probably fast and back to life because there wasn't all the fans. There weren't people up in the waiting for them in the City West, all that kind of stuff. That's got to help. That's got to have helped the younger players recover quickly from the disappointment.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, there wasn't the same build up with the hullabaloo and all that. Like, we were, you know, I was up there on the day and, yeah, it didn't really feel like an All-Ireland finalist, but particularly after the game, you know. It'll be different for them. It would definitely be different for them, but I didn't feel as emotionally empty when the final whistle was over. And maybe that's because there was almost a sense of inevitability that Dublin were going to beat Mayo because they were so strong at the time. You know, had a really, really strong team. A lot of the lads who've stepped away, where it's playing Cluxton, you know, Sullivan and the likes. Where the Mayo team, you were kind of looking at them and, you know, you knew they were going to be honest, but you just didn't felt that they had stepped up an awful lot from last year for when Dublin beat them in the semi-final again. So there was that, as I said, an air of inevitability that it's going to be a same result like that. And that definitely, I think it definitely probably benefited the young lads. And the time of year, you know, December All-Ireland final, you're back training in 3 or 4 weeks' time. You don't barely have time to, you know, to cry about it. You're straight back in. And no doubt about it, there was a freshness to them. They played an All-Ireland final. You know, they got a taste of what it's like. They got a taste of what the standard bearers are. So they knew straight away, right, let's hit the gym here now in 3 or 4 weeks' time. Let's do the runs. Let's get the work in. So, you know, there's benefits and there's pluses to take out of it.
You're listening to the Mayo News Football Podcast in association with Ceramic City Tiles and Bathrooms, Castlebar, Charlestown and Sligo, and Swinford Motors, your Toyota dealer for new and used cars in Mayo. Visit their website at swinfordmotors.com.
All right. One thing I want to say before we move on in the podcast is to remind you this is a full week of podcasts. Big one coming up on Tuesday. I need to check what days these are out. Shamey O'Shea on the podcast. Myself and Edwin having a chat with the Mayo legend who has only just retired, part of the squad last year. Really looking forward to this. He did a great interview in the Mayo News a couple of months back. John, it's going to be great to hear from him, that perspective on one of the many stars who are on the outside looking in now of the squad. But he's going to have a really interesting insight into what it's like to face Dublin in a big championship game.
Oh, he should. Yeah, he should, because I mean, Shamey was so much heart, you know, at the heart of all that. And I keep going back to his performance in the replayed final of 2016, which was just a performance for the ages. And no better man to tell us exactly what a big Mayo Dublin game is like. So that should be good.
The purpose of this podcast to get you started this week was to set the scene for what's to come, because on Thursday then Mike Finnerty's back with the normal preview show. You're going to hear Billy Joe Patton and Kevin McStay. That is exciting. To set the scene for some of the chat during the week, Ger, and it's our last chance to chat to you before the game itself. I'm just wondering, I was looking at the way James Horan has solidified his squad, has focused in on a core group of players that he feels are going to carry him to the All-Ireland final again, and felt maybe back in November last year would carry him to the All-Ireland final as they did. So you're looking at players. There's only two players that have started all 14 games since November, since that game in Tuam, and that's Manu Wan and Oisín Mullen. Two other players have played all 14, Tommy Conroy and Ryan O'Donoghue, subs in one game. And then just looking through it, after that, obviously there's been players like Aidan O'Shea and Lee Keegan who have been out through injury. Paddy Durkin was rested for that Meath game in the Division 2 game. But you can start to see which players are key to James Horan's plans. And what's really, really interesting is a number of the younger players, even players like Jordan Flynn, you think like Brian Walsh, some of the players that have really emerged under James Horan since 2020. If you look through that group, he has really given these guys confidence because they're in the side again and again and again, and they've been trusted no matter what their age.
Yeah, and I think it's absolutely no coincidence that Matty Rowan and Oisín have the only two who have played all the game time so far, because on current form, I think they're our two most crucial players. And I think if we're going to beat Dublin next weekend, I think they're going to be two of the most crucial players that we have. They've been incredible. You know, Oisín obviously has just brought a new energy. He's like a Keith Higgins and a Lee Keegan reincarnated into this, you know, tanned, long-haired beast from Kilmaine. And then Matty has just stepped up. Like, in fairness, he had a good year last year, but you know, this year the his directness that he brings, his energy, you know, the stamina that he has to continually run, like make these deep hard runs whilst taking tackles, it's something else. And I think his battle with Brian Fenton is going to be fascinating on Saturday. I think a lot could come down to that, but. On those aforementioned guys that you said, and around the confidence thing, you know, that's one thing that James Horan has been praised for. It's been able to instill the confidence and to give the game time to these younger guys over the older guys. We saw it last year. He did the same thing last year, and we're seeing it this year with Cullen Boyle, who is struggling for a game, and you know probably has the ability and the talent to be there, but. He's been overlooked by the young guys. He's getting overlooked by the Hessian, even who looks a real prospect, who has, I'd say, you know, his confidence is going through the roof right now, having first championship start this year, and now looks an integral part of the team. Could very well start next week. As to it, Brian Walsh, you know, came off the last day against Galway. I'm sure he was disappointed, but no doubt about it. I'd say James was in his ear all week. You know, filling him with confidence, telling him that, you know, he's going to get his opportunity again. And, you know, I think it'd be a very interesting dressing room to be in all week, that Mayo dressing room, to see the confidence, because, you know, there's such youth in there as well. I think I was listening to Aidan O'Shea on one of his media gigs he did during the week, and he was just on about how there's, you know, the fearlessness that comes with youth and the cockiness almost. And it's certainly, that's in that Mayo team right now.
There's so much more to the squad as well, John. I'm thinking of players like James Carr, Darren Cohn, Fionn McDonagh. There are so many angles. Like, I'll give you this. Conor O'Shea, I think he's only played against Dublin once in a championship game. And he's been with the Mayo squad since 2012. Popped up there off the bench the last day. I'm just saying that it's only my own opinion, but I feel like he's an underutilized talent in Mayo football. I always have felt this way. I understand there's loads of other opinions out there. I want to get Jerry's view on this as well, but I'll start with you, John. Like, just in general, there could be a few X factors here, and he has the ability to do that because he seems to have a lot of squad depth.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting that he brought him on. I know it was very late in the day, the last day against Galway, but that was the first time that he had been used. He'd been in the 26 quite regularly this year, but hadn't been used. So that was the first time. So maybe there's a straw in the wind there in terms of Croke Park, you know, because as you say, Connor has big game experience. He got the goal in the 2016 All-Ireland semi-final, wasn't it, against Tipperary? And he would have played a part I'm not sure if it was both drawn game or and the replay, but he certainly has All-Ireland final experience. Yeah, but I think the factor, of course, lying behind a lot of this in terms of the big panel we have is COVID. And I think we were lucky that we had such a big panel, because when we had the issue after our leading up to the Leitrim game, it didn't really knock us out of our stride. Like, we were able to bring in somebody like Darren Cohen, who hadn't played up till then, and he got, 1-3 or something like that. And we have been able to bring in players in a quite seamless way. And I think that has helped us. And I think probably going into Dublin, it helps us too, because it gives Desi Farrell more things to think about, because we now have the opportunity to pull something left field. And we look at their panel and we look at their squad and we think, we're not sure you guys have to the same extent that you had before. Because remember last year, like they had Howard and Mannion kicking their heels until the start of the second half, and they just came on and they brought on effectively two of the best forwards in the country, or forwards midfield kind of the country, and it had a huge difference. Whereas this time, I think we have the possibility of different things. And we might be a bit more difficult to predict as
well. Yeah, you're tossing that,
yeah, the old Conor O'Shea conundrum. Conor, he's a real enigma. He was the same age as me growing up, so would have played with Conor all the way up through the years, underage years, and his talent was never questioned. He was always a super player, super athlete, incredible athlete. You know, when you're up beside him as well in the flesh, he's a fair specimen of a man now. And last year in the club championship, he was one of the best players. So he has never been found wanting in club championship. But you know, it's just one of those things that he just hasn't been able to apply that confidence, which we just spoke of there, to the county game. Whether that's with the run of games, with the run of form, I don't know. You know, will he be used this year as a surprise weapon? I'm not sure, because as you said about James Horan instilling confidence in all these young guys, I don't know, would he have been able to do that with Conor so far? You know, he only just got game time against Galway the last day. You know, only came on for a few minutes. It was a surprise addition, to be honest, given he hadn't really played or hadn't played at all so far in the championship. So I don't know, was it a token gesture from James to bring him on? Or token gesture is probably the wrong way, but you know, just bring him on to get game time. I just don't think at the minute he has that same confidence as some of the other guys, the Brian Walshes and the Jordan Flynns, who have been afforded much more game time throughout the league as well. But we don't know. We don't know. A lot can happen in 2 weeks. He's 27, 28. You know, still has a lot of football ability in him. Is an athlete, has the athleticism to make an impact in Croke Park. He might be a late bloomer. I know my own club mate there, Pat Fallon, was a late bloomer into the county setup as well. He was in his late 20s. So maybe Conor O'Shea will be the new Pat Fallon.
Nice reference. I like that one, because that certainly rings a bell with plenty of our listeners, I'm sure. I'm just looking at that bench, Ger, just to swing back on Dublin's depth. Like, I mean, they could be bringing on players like, you know, Killian O'Shea, John Small, Finney McMahon, Owen Merchant, the Basquells, who everyone's talking about are showing good form, Sean Bulger. Doesn't change John's point at all that's not all these Mannions, all these other players. But at the same time, if we do lose and their bench does play well, we'll probably be talking about those lads.
We will. And, you know, they have the superior depth in their squad. As you named all those players there, some exciting players, some experienced players. You know, I think it was Stephen Rochford said during the week that he, on the podcast, that he expects or could think that they might keep Cormac Costello in on the bench and spring him, because you know he could do damage and has done damage before. So James Horan will have a lot to think about from his end as well. You know, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him to start Owen McLaughlin and Kevin McLaughlin again. Does he start two of them, or does he hold one in regard, because he got such a good impact from both of them off the bench? You know, they bring the pace and they bring the energy that you want from a team. So when you take both of them off the bench, you know, I don't think there's an awful lot of players who are going to be able to match that intensity that they can bring at halftime. So I think it's going to be interesting whether or not James Horan holds one of them back. I think he should. If I was him, I'd probably hold Owen McLaughlin back and go with the same half-back line as they went in the Connacht final and keep Owen in reserve. But certainly I wouldn't start the two of them.
Yeah, and I think fitness on both sides is an issue as well, because if you look at, for us against Galway, neither Lee Keegan nor Jamie O'Connor were firing on all cylinders. I think that was fairly clear to see. And it was equally clear to see with Dublin. John Small just wasn't fit, you know, and didn't last the game. And I don't think Owen Merchant was either. So, you know, I think that's a factor for Desi as well, because he started Small the last day. And I think he'd want to bring somebody as combative as Small onto the pitch from the word go against us. But if he isn't at full pelt, that's kind of dangerous, particularly if we did a left field and threw somebody like Darren McHale on him that he wouldn't have seen before and hasn't seen in the league before, and let him go at him and see what happens. So there are a lot of unknowables on both sides. And I think that's what makes it kind of fascinating.
Just as we wrap up, John, I was searching through the results archive, which is better than ever, as we know, with the search engine. You can just, like, looking at Matty Rand's games, all of them from Mayo, just type in his name and you get through every single game. Some really interesting stuff. By the way, his win rate in a Mayo jersey would probably match some of the best of all time. It's worth looking at. But look, leave that aside. I haven't time to check every Mayo player's win rate right now, maybe during the week. But what I do have time, what I did have time to check, and Ger Flanagan will remember this game really well, O'Connor Park, Tullamore, 2016, his brother was in goal. Mayo beat Dublin in an All-Ireland semi-final at under-20 level. And I feel like, should Mayo finally end this long run of defeats against Dublin, which is going to happen sometime. Sorry, Dublin fans, if you're listening, it's absolutely going to happen sometime. And why not next weekend is the way we look at it. But Michael Plunkett played that day. Matty Rand, Stephen Cohn, Conor Loftus, Dermot O'Connor. You can throw in other squad members like Fergal Boland, James Carr. You just wonder. If this is their time. Con O'Callaghan was on the other side and about six other Dublin lads, including Merchant. What do you think, John?
Yeah, you just don't want it. It's got to happen at some point, you know. I mean, I guess the problem for us is that our record against them, as the results archive unfortunately confirms, is just a desperate one. Like, Dublin have beaten us eight straight times, four in the league, four in the championship, since we last managed to draw with them, and that was the 2016 All-Ireland. So there's a monkey in our back here. And I, like, never mind about, you know, 70 years since winning the All-Ireland. This is tough. And I think every time, you know, every successive match we go by that we haven't taken a cut off them, it just gets harder. But it is going to happen at some point. It's just a question.
See
of
that, Ger? I brought the positive optimism. John brought the realism. You got to be happy with this balance. We've got it right, haven't we?
It's not far off. Yeah, it's not far. I'm going to bring it down to earth a small bit here now. I think it's going to be a big task. It's going to be a big task. But with the same token, I think it's our best opportunity we've had since, you know, 2012, since we beat them, to beat them. And I think a big factor is, which hasn't been spoken about an awful lot, certainly haven't heard, is just the Evan Comerford factor. Very, very curious to see how Evan Comerford is going to be able to handle the Mayo press. Because if that goes wrong for him, you know, and he has a bad day, it could be a long day for the Dubs. It'll be interesting to see how they react. He hasn't played an awful lot of big games. In Ireland semi-final against Mayo, who, you know, plays such an aggressive press. It could have a deciding factor on the game. That's where I'm hanging my hopes.
We have a busy week ahead, folks. That's what we wanted to do here, is just set the scene. We know you're all thinking about it morning, noon and night. If you're not, you're probably not a huge fan of our podcast, to be honest. John, the blog is hopping.
There is. It is absolutely. And the main topic in town clearly is tickets. Because, you know, 24,000 total tickets, they could easily sell the place out. It's very difficult, and you know, I'd have a huge amount of sympathy for the GAA here, because, you know, I think they weren't fully in control of what that number was. It was driven by public health concerns and all the rest, and it's and also because they have to they have to work within these pod arrangements. It just makes it very difficult. So even how you conduct draws and who gets the tickets and all that, it's just really, really tough. So I think, you know, the reality is for most diehard fans, you know, the seat in the house they're going to get is going to be at home watching it on the couch, you know, and that's just the way it is. Some lucky few will get there. And you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, well summed up, because I think it is that case of the season ticket has worked so well to really reward the fans who are traveling around the country in the middle of winter over the last few years. But unfortunately, on this occasion, it just wasn't going to be that kind of setup.
Yeah, it wasn't, you see. And the thing is, like, the season ticket hasn't operated since COVID, and, you know, it just could not be scrambled back into action. It just was never going to happen. And then it's a question of, well, what's the fairest way? There is no fair way. You know, and it's kind of, you know, I think they're looking for the least worst option, if you like. And, you know, hopefully, a lot of genuine fans will get in there and, you know, look at that's the
as
way
as long
it
as Mayo win, no one's going to be too worried at the end of the day and get to an All-Ireland final. Chair Flanagan, thank you so much. You had an evening of, you had a week of training. I think you were doing the coaching this evening, right?
I was, the under-17 team. A week of standing on the sideline, actually, myself. Yeah, I'm currently nursing a pulled hamstring for the first time ever in my entire life. So, yeah, difficult times.
Should we put money on Balger?
Nah, give it to me. We'll do well keep a kick out to the big guns with our group. So
more of that later in the podcast season, but for now we say good luck to Ger and good luck to John, and we'll talk to you folks in 2 days time. Seamus O'Shea on the podcast, myself and Ed will be chatting to him. That's the next show coming up. Thanks for listening.